Father, we thank you so much for your grace that have called us together again on this altar of incense. Thank you so much for your grace you poured out, O God, upon your children who wait upon you 24/7 on this altar of prayer. Thank you, Father, for the hearts you've stirred up all across this nation, all across your churches, Father, to build the altar of intercession for the nations and the church. We know that, oh Father, you are a God who responds, oh God, who rewards and who answers prayer. Thank you. May we see the answers to our prayers in these seasons. We thank you for breakthroughs in the family. We thank you, Father, for your protection over everyone on this line and their family. Father, we cover every intercessor all across this nation with the blood of the Lamb. We cover their families. We cover marriages. We cover their children. We cover everything that consigns them. Father, we bring everything under the covenant protection of the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you all so much for your prayers. We really see God awakening such a need for prayer in our time. We're able to be part of just observing what God did during the National Day of Prayer, when God called literally the nation of America to a place of prayer all across the nation. And this is a National Day of Prayer that was is under approved by the law of the land. So we just thank God for the response of the nation to prayer. And there's such a cry for revival. There's such a cry for an awakening and awareness of our God in this hour. So let's continue to pray. God is doing something. Tonight, I just want to bring a prayer point. Really, I want to bring about three prayer points that we need to pray into this season. A few months ago, we met in Maryland during one of our executive meetings. And out of that meeting, we came up with a prayer force. A 911, 911 prayer force means it's an emergency a call, emergency prayer force, that whenever there's a need for prayer, an emergency prayer for the nation, because we know people are always praying, we'll activate that line, we'll activate those people who signed up for it. So I want to share something that will necessitate us coming on the line to pray specifically concerning some of the three prayer points I will share at the end of what I'm about to share with you, to give you the reason for these prayer points. Amen. I want to start by reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. Solomon received from the Lord, he says, to every purpose under heaven, there is a time and there is a season. There's a time and there's a season. That word season means appointed times of the Lord, seasons of the Lord, spiritual seasons aligned in the earth. And then in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, when David, as soon as David was appointed as king of Israel, he started setting some things in order. And one of the tribes that was set in place is the tribe of Issachar. And I want to read from the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. He said, "And of the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times. That word times is seasons, seasons of the Lord, to know what Israel ought to do, to know what Israel ought to do or what the church ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Amen. So we see the need for us to understand the times. We understand natural times, but sometimes it takes a lot of prayer, waiting on the Lord, and really studying the scriptures to discern spiritual time. So we know how to partner with God, to pray in agreement for what God is doing in the earth, so the devil does not take advantage of that season. For example, when the season came for when God was raising up Moses, preparing Israel for deliverance, the devil took advantage of that time, because there was not such an understanding of spiritual times. Nobody knew how to stand in the gap to stop the enemy trying to destroy innocent children. And Moses escaped because of the hand and the favor of God upon his life, through the favor received God, he received through the daughter of Pharaoh when they were killing babies from the womb. The same thing when Jesus was to be born. It doesn't mean that when we read these things, they could not be avoided. Things can be avoided if we only understand the times and how to pray. We just think it's supposed to be that way. Herod literally killed innocent children just trying to reach Jesus as a young baby. So I wish we understand how to pray. There are things we can stop from happening, spiritually speaking. So understanding times and seasons helps us to really pray into the season, so the enemy does not take advantage, undue advantage of the moment. So I want to just share a few scriptural backgrounds for us, and then you can discern for yourself what these backgrounds speaks, and then I'll share the three prayer points that we need to pray in this season, and I will suggest a strategic time for us to do that, that will help us achieve something during this time of prayer over the nation of Israel. Now, I want to now explain this. Let me start from the book of Genesis. I'm going to start from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15. This was when God called Abraham from Genesis 12, but along the line, Abraham was struggling with his calling and with the vision God has given to him. And then God appeared to Abraham. So I'll read from verse 15, chapter 15 from verse 13. I read verse 13 and 14. And then God said, he said to Abraham, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance." There shall they come out with great substance, possessions, with great possessions. So God was sharing with Abraham, but as Abraham was struggling, gave Abraham a prophetic insight into the future, giving him assurance that his seed will possess that land. But before they will possess that land, God told Abraham there will come a time when his own seeds will be in a strange land. And in that strange land, they will serve the nation in that land for 400 years. And after 400 years, they will come out of that land, and God will judge that nation that made them slaves, and they will come out of that place with great possessions. So we all know that he was talking about Israel when they were in Egypt. They really served 400 years. They came out of Egypt, Exodus 12 to 14, you see that. They came out of Egypt 430 years. You know, so, you know, they came out exactly 430 years. So now they came out in the 400 centennial, 400 years, just like God spoke in that season. So now the reason I read that is to bring about a prophetic number that God uses in this contest, the number four. There's a reason why we only have four winds, four major corners of winds. We have the north, we have the east, we have the west, and we have the south. These four winds literally govern the four corners of the earth. So the number four has a lot to do with the whole creation process of God's cycle. But here we see where God now is speaking to Abraham, telling, using the number 400. So that a cycle will be completed at 400. Now we also see through the Bible, in the same season when God was using that number, bringing that 400 year season to pass in the life of the children of Israel, they will be there 400 years. God started using the number 4444 all through that season. That very year when they were turning 400 for them to come out, Moses was born. Moses lived in Egypt for exactly 40 years. Then at the end of 40 years, Moses was sent into the wilderness. He ran into the wilderness, and Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. With Jethro, the way he got married, had children, spent another 40 years. So here is a cycle. And then at the end of 40 years, Moses was now sent back again to Egypt and took the children of Israel out, spent 40 years with them in wilderness and died. So you can see that it's not a coincidence at all that at the end of the 400 years, God told them that God, now Moses, started experiencing cycles of four, seasons of 40, 40, 40. And that's 120. So, and Moses died. And then the children of Israel, then the whole children of Israel, again experienced 40 years in the wilderness. So it's not a coincidence. This is God building something prophetically with the nation of Israel, the life of Israel, within the generation of time that God told them they will come out of Egypt. So you see, the number four had a prevalence mark on them. And again, Moses, twice when he went to the mountain to pray, he spent 40 days. Twice, the first time on the mount, 40 days, the second time, 40 days. So you see, the number four was completely the mark of their coming out of Egypt, the mark of the cycles of Moses, the mark of the cycle of the children of Israel in the wilderness, the mark of Moses praying in the mountain twice, and them coming out of the wilderness before they possess the promised land. So you see that number four played a significant prophetic cycle in their life to discern the seasons. Now, when Jesus came, you can see he came to also fulfill the law, fulfill some things. Jesus started his ministry by spending 40 days in the wilderness. He could have, why didn't he do 30 days? Why didn't he do 50? Why didn't he do any other number? Why 40? So you can see that it was an intentional number in the mystery of what God was doing with Israel in the days of Moses and in that prophetic generation. And then from Genesis, from the days, if you look at Genesis, you see the days of Noah, the days of Adam there, when Adam died. So historically, the number of Adam from when Adam was born and all the generations, Jesus came exactly at the 4,000 years, you know. He was born about the 4,000 years. And then, you know, he died and came out, you know, on the cross 30 years after. Now, that's the cycle of four. And you see how God used that to build the mystery of man and creation four corners of the earth. So you can see that has a prophetic revelation there. Now, the other one I want to share with you is the number, we've looked at the number four just to give an example, is the number seven. So I want to read another scripture to you here from the book of Genesis also. Let's open to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 2, maybe from Genesis chapter 2. This is when God created, finished all the creation and everything that God did. Genesis chapter 2. Read from verse 2 or verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now you see here again, right from Genesis, God put emphasis on the number seven, and God completed everything is made on it some and rested. So when the children of Israel now we are being established as a nation, God gave Moses that number seven as the number of Sabbath. He said, they shall 6 days they will do all their work, but on the seventh day they should rest. You know, it's a Sabbath of rest. So that number became what you call the maturity of numbers, or the completion of the cycle of seasons of the week, or the number seven. So the number seven, if you study it, you can go research it in Hebrew or in Greek. It represents the word for finish, or the word for completion, or the word for maturity. Something that has finished its cycle. It's a complete cycle. So that's why even today we have the Sabbath, which is, you know, a Saturday, and we said a new week begins on Sunday. So you see that cycle. Every week ends on Sabbath, which is Sunday, the seventh day. A new week begins on the seventh. Eight is a number of new beginnings. So that is not man-made. This is all imprinted in God's structure of creation and prophetic destiny of whatever God is doing. So that number seven, with that understanding, and I'm sure most of you are very much aware of that. So it's a number for rest, for Sabbath, completion, cycle. So now, having that in mind, I want to read something to you again. Just like God spoke to Abraham, here again, the children of Israel are now in their promised land. They've now backslidden. They're now serving other gods. And they will not listen to prophets. They will not listen to correction. They will not listen to rebuke. Their rebellion has gone so heavy, and they've really, literally now turned their hearts to other gods. So after much warning, God sent Jeremiah to them and told them that judgment was coming and they will be taken away. And so let me read to you here from the book of Jeremiah 25, from verse 8 to 13. Jeremiah 25, I read from verse 8. I want you to pay attention to this carefully, because that has to do with what we're about to pray for. But the Lord, Jeremiah 25, verse 8. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words. Verse 9. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against, and will bring, sorry for that cough. If you don't mind to mute that, sorry about that. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the earth, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone and the light of the candle. Verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and a hissing, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, says the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. Verse 13, and I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book. That's the prophecy which Jeremiah had prophesied against all the nations. So you see here, just like the Lord spoke to Abraham way before time, that there will come a time that before the children of Israel will come possess, inherit the promised land, they will go through a process of time, and he gave him the timeline, the timeline to watch for that generation to be sensitive to, like we just read. But God says, when that time comes, the nation that will hold them as slaves or captives will also be judged, and that will affect the nations. So now, in Jeremiah's days, God is now speaking to Jeremiah about nations. But now he says, Israel, because of their rebellion, for the land to maintain its Sabbath, because they rebel, they defile the Sabbath, that they will be taken away captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And they will be in Babylon for 70 years. And that will bring Nebuchadnezzar to rule over the nations for 70 years. And after 70 years, God will judge that nation, Babylon. And by judging that nation means it will, whatever happens to Babylon will affect the nations, but mostly Israel will be restored back to their promised land after 70 years. Now, historically, biblically, this happened in the days of Zerubbabel. Babylon actually ruled over Israel for 70 years. The book of Daniel chapter 9, Daniel had understanding of the season. Daniel said he understood the season through the words, the books, what he read in the prophecy of Jeremiah. And Daniel took on sackcloth and started praying for prophetic breakthrough in that time. And so when Babylon fell, it affected the nations. But Israel was released back to Jerusalem. And then the king Cyrus made a decree for Jerusalem to the temple to be rebuilt, and for Israel to be fully restored and blessed with possession. Just like God said, it happened. See, the Bible is very clear. Everything God has spoken, the Bible says, not one word will fail from coming to pass. So it will come to pass. It happened exactly. So now, just like it happened with Babylon, the point I am trying to bring here is the number seven. The number seven. You see, God used the number seven for Israel in the days of Babylon. He said they will spend seven Sabbaths of years, that's 70, in Babylon to give the land rest. After that, they will come back. So what does that mean? It means now God is using seven in that time to bring them to a time of rest. So we see that the number seven is used now as a prophetic cycle of the time of Israel to go through a season. And we see that God used numbers, there were 70 in that time. So he went from 7 to the number 70, you know, of their captivity. So now, in our time, why am I bringing this to you? Okay, God used 70 for Israel when they were taken as captive in Babylon, that they will come back. So it was a good news. 70 then was very good news. When when Daniel saw that, they must have rejoiced. The breakthrough for Israel has come. The time for restoration has come. The time for their blessing. The time for their redemption. So it was a prophetically a very reviving moment, refreshing moment. And that God delivered Israel, and it was good news they were brought back. So it's a prophetic news. But now, here is another cycle of 70 that happened, but this time was not so much good news. But God used the number 7. What was the time? It was the time Jesus, during his days, prophesied when they were showing him the temple. He said, listen, this temple that you see right now, there will come a day that not a stone will be left of it. It will be destroyed. Magnificent temple. You know, and he told them all this. But do you know what happened? Jesus was born. The word AD means the advent of Christ, meaning from the birth of Christ, based on historic chronological timing. But do you know that from the advent of Christ, or what they call from the birth of Christ, 70 AD, that is 70 years from the historical after Christ was born, 70 AD, the 78th year from the advent of Christ, the Roman Empire under Nero, under the great persecution, they literally fulfilled that prophecy. They destroyed the temple to the ground. They burned Jerusalem, and Israel was scattered, literally disappeared into the nations. 70 AD. So here is another cycle of 7, where the rejection of Jesus, the rejection, the Bible says he came unto his own and his own knew him not. They rejected him. And he says, Jerusalem, how much I want to gather you. But you know, so he talked about, you know, the judgment that was coming. So at the advent, after that advent, AD, 70 AD exactly, 70 again, a cycle, a completion. Just like God warned them in the days of Jeremiah, Israel was literally destroyed in 70 AD. And that led to the scattering of Israel as a nation, totally gone. Now, here is why I'm bringing this to you. If God used the cycle of 4, and God prophetically would have raised a generation that were discerning in the days of Moses. Moses went through 40 years cycle, wilderness cycle, this cycle. Everything was about 4 in that time. Now, God is using number 7 in the last days. But it started with Israel in Babylon. You see what happened. Now it started with Israel being scattered, 70. Now, Israel was now restored. From when Israel was scattered in 70 AD, there were prophecies by Hosea that Israel would be restored. Hosea 6 would be revived on the second day, the third day God would raise them up. That's not what I'm after. But the point is, in the year 1948, exactly May 14th, the nations recognized Israel as they declared their independence. Israel once again, after 70 AD, became a nation, 1948, May 14th. They were a nation, just like the prophet said. Okay, so now Israel has become a nation. And I want to let you know, the whole reason I shared all this, God has made Israel. We can go through the Bible. I can show you this plainly, but that's not what we're doing tonight. Israel is more like a time clock for the nations. For example, Israel was what God used to tell Abraham, listen, 400 years, Egypt will oppress you. But at the end of that 400 years, Egypt will cease to oppress you. So Israel was the time clock for how far Egypt will become a world power. So obviously, the end of Egypt becoming a world power was known by Israel's times table. Then look at Babylon. Babylon became a world power. So now God is saying the time that Babylon will cease to be a world power is determined by how long Israel will be there. So Israel is their time clock. Israel, prophetically, God told, Jesus made it clear, Israel will be the time clock of the world. So in everything. So now we see Israel back in their nation, 1948. So if Israel is a time clock, here is what I want to submit to you. Because of the way God uses 77s as a number for completion for the cycle. If God scattered them in 70 AD and God brought them back from Babylon after 70 years. Now, this May 14th, Israel will be exactly 70 years since they were restored. It will be the complete prophetic cycle of Israel being a nation, spiritually speaking. And to give you another example of how prophetic, just like the days of Moses, God used number 4444 just to saturate the generation of Moses and Israel coming out of Egypt. Isn't it amazing that God is using the word seven, 70. Now, they are going to be 70 this May 14th. And the Bible also mentions from the first chapter of the book of Revelations, it started talking about seven spirits, seven churches, seven trumpets, seven seals, seven plagues, seven days. The number seven is the fingerprint of God's cycle in the whole book of Revelation. Everything is coded with the number seven. Just like everything was coded with the number four in the generation of Moses. Because seven is the number of completion, the number of a complete cycle before you go into a new beginning. So I'm bringing this to your attention because if we lived in the days of Moses and we were able to understand the significance of four, we can look back in retrospect and see the cycle. Maybe Moses himself probably didn't know or understand. But if we can see the cycle of the way God used 4, 40, 4, 44, everything, you see that it was not a coincidence. So I just want to prayerfully, as praying people, to be sensitive in this season. Israel is going to turn 70. And Israel, God uses Israel to measure the generations of nations, to measure how long nations will scatter and how long nations will live. Israel is a time clock. So it really awakened me as God was showing me this, that as the children of Issachar designed these times and seasons, we need to really pray into this 70th cycle of Israel. Will you like it or not, 70 is the number for completion. So I really believe Israel is completing a prophetic cycle and something fresh is about to begin after the 70th year. Something new, a shift is coming to the nations. Well, however that shift will look like, something is about to shift because 7 is always the number of a complete cycle. And I've pretty much laid it out to you and you can study more. So having that understanding, as prophetic prayer people, if 70 and 7 is the end of a cycle and Israel is a time clock and there's a complete cycle, meaning that, who knows, a shift is coming. What did Daniel do when he sensed that in Babylon? He started praying. He started fasting for more understanding, for clarity, praying into the destiny of Israel, praying into the destiny of the nations. Because as Israel was about to shift, the nations were going to shift. Israel is the time clock. So my brothers and sisters, we cannot fold our hands and just be praying without prophetic understanding. So as prayer warriors, this is what I want to suggest to you. Ordinarily, since Israel became a nation, 1948, the 14th day of May has become a curse word to all the Arab nations. They hate that day. They despise that day. They abhor that day. They curse that day. And that day is a day that reminds them Israel has to be eliminated. It's a day they rehearse over and over as Israel taking their land. Israel, an enemy of the Arabs. So ordinarily, without Israel being 70, giving you this prophetic understanding, that day has always been a day Israel has to prepare, protect themselves, position themselves. And it's thank God for the church that prays all the time for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, as I'm speaking to you, there's already a conflict taking place between Israel and Iranian soldiers in Syria. I'm not saying anything will come out of this, but somehow the season is already awakening and escalating tension in the Middle East. The President Trump already said he will withdraw. The deal is provoke Iran and all these things, all this stuff. There's just tension. But that's not what we're getting at. What I am pleading with you tonight is there's a complete cycle, prophetically, physically completed by a nation that God has used numbers and in their prophetic life. So I want to suggest to us prophetically, one, to pray from now as much as God gives you the grace to pray for the peace of Israel, to pray for the protection of Israel, to pray for Israel. That's one. Two, I want us to start praying for revival. The church is kind of, Israel is a type and shadow. You know, the church is kind of a spiritual Israel. So the church has a connection prophetically to the nation of Israel. So let's pray for revival in the church and awakening in the nation. So number one, let's pray for Israel in this season. By the way, there is something that is going to take place on May 14th. It's called MON, March of the Nations. Everybody from every nation, believers, they come on this day, May 14th, to celebrate the restoration of Israel as a nation. And there's a big march called the March of the Nations. So people are all over Israel now. People are traveling from all parts of the world. I know some people that are already heading there. So for this March of the Nations, it's going to take place on the 14th of this month. That's going to be on Monday. So I want to suggest to us as intercessors with prophetic eyes, one, to pray for Israel at this moment. Two, to pray for revival and awakening in church. Pentecost is just by the corner. And then three, I want us to start praying effectively for the blood covenant covering over your families, over your children, over everything that pertains to you. The enemy tends to create distractions whenever seasons change. That's why I started by saying, if somebody understood times and seasons in the days of Moses, they would have prayed differently, and maybe Pharaoh would not have taken advantage of innocent pregnant women. Maybe somebody understood the season well in the days of Jesus' birth, probably they would have prayed specifically against Herod killing innocent children. So I just want us to be very sensitive to the shift. Number 7 is a definite end of cycle, and Israel is entering into a practical end of cycle, and there Israel determines the direction of God among nations. Something is about to shift after the 70th year. So we need to pray into it. One, for blood covering over families and stuff. And then two, pray for Israel. Three, pray for the church, for God to really awaken and do something special. So these three prayer points, I want to encourage you to start praying into it, and for you to pray for God to start visiting you, you know, to just really visit you, because this might be a time of visitation. I personally am enjoying that right now. So now, these three prayer points, You can be praying it individually, praying it in your prayer cycle, have your church praying it. But I want to suggest, when we started in 9/11, we talked about, we're calling it a prayer force, an emergency prayer activation. So I will suggest for those of you on this line, please, if it's possible, let's all come on a prayer line this Sunday, the 13th, from 6 to 7 p.m., 1 hour, just 1 hour. Jesus says, in a difficult time in his life, he says, will you tarry with me for just an hour? So just for 1 hour on Sunday from 6 p.m. Eastern time to 7 p.m., if you come on this number I'm going to call to you, is the ASLPN line. I discussed a little bit with Pastor Peace, is aware of this, and we vaguely mentioned it with Sister Bailey. So that's why I didn't want to impose on the Willing Women line. I would have said this line would be better used, but I can give you the ASLPN line right now, and we'll use that line on Sunday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. We are going to direct prayer on Israel and the March for the Nations and for God's protection on Israel in this season. Or on that 6 to 7, the whole prayer is going to be on Israel and, of course, on the church. Just to God to give us clarity. Because the next day is the 14th, the day that Israel was made a nation, just to preempt and to pray for whatever God will do to preserve this season for his glory. So that's why I wanted to share with you using understanding of season, so we can really direct our prayer in a more focused way. So I would like to turn this over to Sister Bailey, so we all can see how we can proceed from here. Father, I thank you so much for your grace, your spirit of wisdom and revelation, for causing us to have understanding of seasons and times, so that we can truly pray and overthrow things and stop things and preempt things, oh God, that the enemy might be intending to do, so that your name will be glorified, and also to be positioned for whatever you want to do to release a blessing into your church in this hour. Thank you for this great army you've raised in this hour in this nation. Father, unite us to stand together as we stand in the gap for this season. In Jesus' name, amen.